أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're carrying on with these talks on dreams and what relates to it, dream interpretation. We talked in the last session about some regulations and rules regarding dreams and dreams interpretation, 17 points. We'll continue, inshallah ta'ala, now with the dreams that were mentioned in Qur'an. In Surah Yusuf, we have four dreams mentioned to us. The first one is the dream of Yusuf, Sayyidina Yusuf, alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ.
Yusuf alayhi salam, he told his father, he said, behold, Yusuf said to his father, O my father, I did see 11 stars and the sun and the moon. I saw them prostrate themselves to me. This dream was seen by Yusuf alayhi salam at a young age. He was a child then. But it was a preparation for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was inspiring him with this dream as a preparation for what will come ahead. Yusuf alayhi salam will go through difficulties, will go through testing times. This dream and the meaning of it is going to give him confidence and will inspire him to have trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and patience, and to be able to overcome the obstacles and barriers that he will face during lifetime. Because Yusuf alayhi salam, he went through very difficult moments, and the fitan that he went through lasted for quite a long time. I mean, first it was his brothers and the plot that they had against him. And then it was the fear of being thrown alone in a well, and then being carried away by foreigners to a foreign land, and then to be sold as a slave and to live years of his life away from his family, away from the security of family and home, and to be enslaved, to be a servant in someone else's house, when he comes from a noble family. I mean, his father is a Nabi. And then after that, to go through the trial of the fitna of the wife of Al-Aziz, when he is a young man, not married, bachelor, and here you have a woman that is not only beautiful, but she's influential and in a position of power, especially what relates to him, because they are his owners. And subhanAllah, he remains steadfast. And then the fitna of jail. So this dream must have been an anchor that he would refer to at moments of difficulty, because he would have the confidence and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal that in the end he will prevail. His father, Yaqub alayhi salam, told him,
قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين.
Said the father, my dear little son, relate not your vision to your brothers, lest they concoct a plot against you, for Satan is to man an avowed enemy. Yaqub alayhi salam told his son, don't tell anyone about this dream. Don't let your brothers know about it. This goes back to the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith, where he said that you should only tell your dream to a scholar or to a person who would give you advice or to somebody who loves you. Why? Because such a dream would cause his brothers to feel jealous, envy towards him. And subhanAllah, that was the case. In Quran, it doesn't mention that he disobeyed this command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it doesn't mention that he told the dream to his brothers, even though in the Bible it does say that he broke this command from his father and he did tell his brothers. But since it is not mentioned in Quran, will go with clearing the reputation of the Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal Yusuf, and we would say that he did not disobey his father and he did not tell his brothers about his dream. This is the first dream in Surah Yusuf. There are four dreams in Surah Yusuf. The next two dreams were seen by the two prisoners who were with Yusuf alayhi salam in jail. And Al-Bukhari, when he mentioned the ayat relating to the two dreams of the prisoners, he named the chapter Bab Ru'ya Ahlus Sujuni Wal Fasad Wa Shirk, the dreams of prisoners and corrupt people and disbelievers. And by the way, the scholars say that the fiqh of Bukhari is in his titles, because Sahih al-Bukhari is a book of ahadith, and he doesn't have a lot of comments himself. I mean, what he did is he compiled ahadith. But he is the one who gave the titles to the chapters and the books of al-Bukhari. And they're very telling, and there's a lot of wisdom, and there's a lot to be learned from the titles that al-Bukhari has given to the collections of ahadith in his Sahih. So here he says, "Bab ru'ya ahlu sujuni wal fasad wa shirk," the dreams of prisoners, people who are corrupt, and the disbelievers. What al-Bukhari is saying is that dreams are not exclusive to the believer. The disbeliever can see a dream and it would turn out to be true. And he also turns our attention to that prisoners see a lot of dreams. And there was a prisoner from Ahl al-Bayt in the early days of our history. He would say that we would wake up in the morning and all what we would talk about is our dreams. And there's also a poetry by one prisoner, again, early in our history, where he says the same thing, is that we are not among the living and we're not among the dead. And when we wake up in the morning, all what we talk about is our dreams. And subhanAllah, this is something that I noticed myself during the time I spent in jail, that the frequency of dreams that the prisoners are having was amazing. And subhanAllah, sometimes different prisoners who are not together, I mean, they're not even in the same room, so they're separate from each other, would see very similar dreams. Anyway, the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانِ قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَحْمِلُ فَوْقَ رَأْسِي خُبْزًا تَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْهُ نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ
Now with him there came into the prison two young men. Said one of them, I see myself in a dream pressing wine. That's the first dream. The next dream, said the other, I see myself in a dream carrying bread on my head and birds are eating thereof. Tell us, they said, the truth and meaning thereof, for we see that you are a man of righteousness. Here the two prisoners narrate their dreams to Yusuf alayhi salam, and they make an observation. They say, Inna naraka min al muhsineen. We see that you are a man of ihsan. Ihsan is perfection, it is righteousness. What ihsan really is, it's the highest level of taqwa, righteousness. This is something that these prisoners noticed, these non-Muslim prisoners noticed. Because Yusuf alayhi salam was an example to others. And when they wanted their dreams to be interpreted, it is Yusuf alayhi salam that they went to. Because of his conduct, because of his akhlaq, his manners, the way he dealt with others, his ibadah. They give an explanation of why they came particularly towards him for the interpretation of their dreams. They said, Inna naraka min al-muhsinin, because we see that you are a man of righteousness. The response of Yusuf alayhi salam was,
قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمَا ذلكما مما علمني ربي إني تركت ملة قوم لا يؤمنون بالله وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون.
He said, before any food comes in due course to feed either of you, I will surely reveal to you the truth and meaning of this before it befalls you. That is part of the duty which my Lord has taught me. I have left the ways of a people that believe not in Allah and that deny the hereafter. Yusuf alayhi salam promised them a prompt response. As soon as we receive our meal, I will interpret the dream for you. And he wanted to give himself time to give them da'wah, to hold their attention before giving them the interpretation of the dream. So he went on giving them da'wah. Ya sahabay sijn arbab mutafarriquna khayrun am Allahul wahid al-qahhar. And then he gave them the interpretation of the dream. He said,
Ya sahibay sijn amma ahadukuma fayasqi rabbahu khamra وأما الآخر فيصلب فتأكل الطير من رأسه قضي الأمر الذي فيه تستفتيان.
O my two companions of the prison, as to one of you, he will pour out the wine for his Lord to drink. As for the other, he will hang from the cross, and the birds will eat from his head. So has been decreed that matter whereof you do inquire. So the one who saw that he is pressing wine, he will serve the king, and he will be a close person to this king. While the person who saw birds eating from his head, he saw that he was carrying bread, and that the birds were coming and eating from this bread which was over his head, he will be killed. This was the interpretation of the dreams of these two prisoners. And then finally you have the dream of the king. Again, the king is a non-Muslim. So here in Surah Yusuf, we have a dream of Yusuf alayhi salam, a Muslim, and then we have the dream of the prisoners, and then we have the dream of the king who is a non-Muslim.
وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعٌ عِجَافٌ وَسَبْعَ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُضْرٍ وَأُخَرَ يَابِسَاتٍ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ أَفْتُونِي فِي رُؤْيَايَ إِن كُنْتُمْ لِلرُّؤْيَا تَعْبُرُونَ.
The king of Egypt said, I do see in a vision seven fat cows, whom seven lean ones devour, and seven green ears of corn, and seven others withered. O you chiefs, expound to me my vision, if it be that you can interpret visions. The fact that the king asked for the interpretation of his dream, and he presented this dream to the high members of his government, because it says in the ayah, Ya ayyuha al-mala. Al-mala are the leaders of the society, the noblemen, the people who have influence. The fact that he mentioned this dream to them in such a gathering shows that this dream did leave a mark on him. He was concerned about it. It didn't seem to him to be a dream that is meaningless. He felt that there's something in this dream, and it concerned him, and that's why he presented it to his officials. But the response of them was,
قَالُوا أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامٍ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمِينَ.
They said, a confused medley of dreams. أضغاث, the meaning of the word أضغاث is branches and twigs of trees that are brought together in one bundle. So they're not uniform, they're not the same. You have small twigs and big twigs and branches. So they said, أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامٍ. It's a confused medley. It's a hodgepodge that doesn't have any meaning. And then they said, and we are not skilled in the interpretation of dreams. But the servant of the king, who was a former prisoner with Yusuf alayhi salam, witnessed this conversation and overheard it, so he said,
وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَا مِنْهُمَا وَادَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ أَنَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلِهِ فَأَرْسِلُونَ
But the man who had been released, one of the two who had been in prison, and who now bethought him after so long a space of time, he said, I will tell you the truth of its interpretation, send you me therefore. Now, when this prisoner was being released, Yusuf alayhi salam told him to remind the king about his case, his situation, because it seems that somehow they put Yusuf alayhi salam in jail and they completely forgot about him. So Yusuf alayhi salam wanted the servant to remind the king about his case, but this man forgot. This dream, this conversation that the king was having with his officials reminded him, so he said, let me fetch for you Yusuf alayhi salam and he will have this dream interpreted. So he went and visited Yusuf alayhi salam.
Yusuf ayyuha as-siddiq aftina fi sab' baqaratin siman ya'kuluhunna sab'un ijaf يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعٌ عِجَافٌ وَسَبْعِ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُضْرٍ وَأُخَرَ يَابِسَاتٍ لَعَلِّي أَرْجِعُ إِلَى النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ
O man of truth, expound to us the dream of seven fat cows whom seven lean ones devour, and of seven green ears of corn and seven others withered, that I may return to the people and that they may understand. There's something we notice here. This man repeats the dream verbatim, exactly as it was mentioned by the king in the ayah before. And this points out to us an important thing with dream interpretation, that you need to mention the dream as you saw it with the particular details. And one of the amazing things mentioned about Ibn Sirin, the greatest dream interpreter in this ummah, is that sometimes he would ask the person who saw the dream details about the dream and details about his life. And it is mentioned that it took him once from morning until noon discussing a single dream with the person who saw it. So it's very important to mention the particular details of the dream to have it correctly interpreted. Yusuf alayhi salam, his response was, he didn't say, well, I'm not going to tell you the interpretation of this dream until you release me. He didn't blame this person for forgetting about his situation. He didn't tell him, well, sorry man, I'm not going to help you out with the interpretation of this dream because I requested something from you and he didn't do it. Yusuf alayhi salam was very patient. Sabur. Allah Azza wa Jal has given him sabr. And he was very forgiving. So he went ahead and gave him the interpretation of the dream with no strings attached.
قال تزرعون سبع سنين دأبا فما حصدتم فذروه في سنبله إلا قليلا مما تأكلون
Yusuf said, for 7 years you shall diligently sow as is your want, and the harvests that you reap will you shall leave them in the ear except a little of which you shall eat. He said, for 7 years, as usual, as normal, you will harvest. But he told them that whatever you harvest, keep it in its ears and save it, except for what is necessary for your food.
ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ يَأْكُلَّ مَا قَدَّمْتُمْ لَهُنَّ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تُحْصِنُونَ
Then will come after that period 7 dreadful years, which will devour what you shall have laid by in advance for them, all except a little which you shall have specially guarded. Then 7 difficult years will come by, and you will be consuming from the harvest which you saved, because there will not be a lot of harvest during these 7 years. So you will eat from the, you will feed off the harvest of the 7 years before.
ثم يأتي من بعد ذلك عام فيه يغاث الناس وفيه يعصرون.
Then will come after that period a year in which the people will have abundant water and in which they will press wine and oil. After these 7 difficult years, then things will improve. So let's look at this dream again and the symbols in it. There are 7 lean cows, and then 7 fat cows, and 7 green ears of corn, and 7 dry, withered ones. The cows represent years. So the 7 fat cows mean 7 years of abundance. And then the 7 lean cows mean 7 years of famine. And the 7 green ears of corn, 7 years of fresh harvest. And then the 7 withered corns are the 7 years of eating off the stored corn. And this is how Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted the dream. So these are the dreams mentioned in Surah Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions to us a dream in Surah Al-Fath seen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا.
Truly did Allah fulfill the vision for His Messenger. You shall enter the sacred mosque, if Allah wills, with minds secure, heads shaved, hair cut short, and without fear. For He knew what you knew not, and He granted besides this a speedy victory. So what was the dream that Rasulullah ﷺ had? Rasulullah ﷺ saw that he and the Muslims enter into the holy mosque and make tawaf around Al-Kaaba. Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba went to Mecca to make Umrah, but they were prevented from doing so by the Mushrikeen. And this is in the 6th year of Hijrah. So now the Muslims have been prevented from visiting Al-Masjid Al-Haram for 6 years. Rasulullah ﷺ is eager to go to Al-Haram, and so are all of the Sahaba. They're longing to visit the house of Allah. Subhanallah, the house of Allah is like the home for every believer. If you visit it once, you want to visit it always. So now the Muslims are eager to go and make tawaf. Rasulullah ﷺ saw a dream that that's what they're doing. They go and they reach to the outskirts of Mecca, and then subhanallah, the people of Quraysh prevent them from entering. And that is when Rasulullah ﷺ signed the truce of Al-Hudaybiyah. And one of the terms of the truce is that the Muslims are not to be allowed to make Umrah this year, but they can come the following year. This was like a thunderbolt on the Muslims. They were so upset that the kuffar prevented them from visiting Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and they were very angry with Al-Mushrikeen. And Umar ibn al-Khattab went to Rasulullah ﷺ and told him, "O Messenger of Allah, didn't you tell us that we will make tawaf around Al-Kaaba?" Rasulullah ﷺ told him, "Did I tell you that you would do it this year?" Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "No." Rasulullah ﷺ told him, "Well, you will make tawaf around Al-Kaaba." It didn't happen that year, but it happened the following year. So you can see how this dream took a while for its interpretation to happen. I would like to add the dream of Ibrahim alayhi salam to be included. And these ayat in Surah As-Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى.
Allah Azza wa Jal says, then when he reached the age of serious work with him, meaning that Ismail alayhi salam was beyond the age where his parents are helping and serving him, and it's now time for him to pay back his father. And his father was very old at age at the time, because we know that for the most period of his life, Ibrahim alayhi salam had no children, and that Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him with his firstborn child, Ismail alayhi salam, when he was very old. Some ulama say that he was over 80 years of age. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was growing feeble and old in age, and now Ismail alayhi salam, probably he was in his early teens at the time, he was now at the age where he could start assisting and helping his father and paying him back for the help that every parent gives to his child. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, then when he reached the age of serious work with him, he said, O my son, I see in vision that I offer you in sacrifice. So see, what is your view? Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling his son that this is the dream that I have. I see myself sacrificing you. And as we said before, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُؤْيَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ حَقِّ. The dreams of prophets are true. But he's seeking the opinion of his son, Ismail alayhi salam. What do you think? Ismail alayhi salam said,
قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
The son said, O my father, do as you are commanded, you will find me, if Allah so wills, one practicing patience. So Ismail alayhi salam wants to be patient and wants to accept this order of Allah Azza wa Jal. And notice here the adab that he has with his father and with Allah Azza wa Jal when he says, Satajiduni insha'Allahu. Look at the manners of Ismail alayhi salam when he said, if Allah wills. So he does not determine anything for certainty, but he says, if Allah wills, because he knows that everything is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the believer should not be overconfident in his abilities and what he will do and what he won't, but should relate everything back to Allah Azza wa Jal and say, if Allah wills, I will do this. If Allah wills, I will not do that. Because we accept in our aqidah that everything, including our actions, are created by Allah Azza wa Jal. ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين.
فلما أسلما وتله للجبين.
So when they had both submitted their wills to Allah and he laid him on his forehead, some of the Mufassirin said that Ibrahim alayhi salam put the face of Ismail towards the ground so that he would not see the face of his son during the agony and pain of death.
وناديناه أي يا إبراهيم.
At that moment, Allah Azza wa Jal says, we called out to him, O Ibrahim.
قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين.
O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the vision. Thus indeed, we reward those who do right. So it was a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. And both Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim as-salam have passed the test. There was no point in Ibrahim alayhi salam carrying on with sacrificing his son. The will and the intention in their hearts was made clear. So now Allah Azza wa Jal said,
وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ.
And we have sacrificed him with a great sacrifice. We have ransomed him with the great sacrifice. So this is the dream of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Dreams mentioned in Sunnah and Hadith are many. We'll mention some of them. These are the dreams of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu wasallamu alayhi used to see dreams before receiving wahi from Jibreel alayhi salam. Aisha radiallahu anha said, and this is in Bukhari, كان أول ما بدأ به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الرؤيا الصادقة في النوم، فكان لا يرى رؤيا إلا جاءت مثل فلق الصبح ثم حبب إليه الخلاء. عائشة رضي الله عنها said, the beginning of prophethood was that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would see true dreams that would happen exactly as he would see them, and then seclusion was made beloved to him. And it mentions in another hadith that these dreams continued for 6 months. There's another hadith in Bukhari. In this hadith, two angels came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and accompanied him in a journey towards the world of the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some of al-ghayb. And it's an interesting, amazing journey, and we will go through it. Samurah ibn Jundub radiallahu anhu said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مما يكثر أن يقول لأصحابه هل رأى أحد منكم من رؤيا؟ قال فيقص عليه من شاء الله أن يقص وإنه قال ذات غدا. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would very often tell us, did any one of you see a dream? And in another hadith it says that after Salat al-Fajr, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would turn around and face the companions and ask them if they saw any dreams. This indicates to us that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم talked about their dreams, discussed their dreams. So it shows that this issue does carry some weight with a Muslim. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith, after asking the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, did any one of you see a dream? He then proceeded to narrate to them a dream that he himself has seen. قال إنه أتاني الليلة آتيان وإنهما ابتعثاني وإنهما قال لي انطلق. This night, two men came to me, angels in the form of men, and they woke me up in his dream, and they told me proceed. So I proceeded with them. وإنا أتينا على رجل مضطجع. We came and saw a man lying down. وإذا آخر قائم عليه بصخرة. وإذا هو يهوي بالصخرة لرأسه فيثلغ رأسه فيتهدهد الحجر ها هنا فيتبع الحجر فيأخذه فلا يرجع إليه حتى يصبح رأسه كما كان ثم يعود عليه فيفعل به مثل ما فعل المرة الأولى. Here Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saw a man who was lying down, and then on top of him was standing another man with a rock in his hand. And then he would smash the head of the man lying down with this rock, and then the rock would roll away. So he would go to pick up the rock. By the time he comes back, the head of that man lying down, which was crushed, returned to its normal state. So he would throw the rock at his head again, and this would repeat again and again and again. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, قُلْتُ لَهُمَا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ ما هذان سبحانه who are they قال لي انطلق انطلق they said proceed proceed قال فانطلقنا فأتينا على رجل مستلق لقفاه وإذا آخر قائم عليه بكلوب من حديد وإذا هو يأتي أحد شقي وجهه فيشرشر شدقه إلى قفاه ومنخره إلى قفاه وعينه إلى قفاه قال وربما قال أبو رجاء فيشق قال ثم يتحول إلى الجانب الآخر فيفعل به مثل ما فعل بالجانب الأول فما يفرغ من ذلك الجانب حتى يصبح ذلك الجانب كما كان ثم يعود عليه فيفعل مثل ما فعل المرة الأولى. And then we saw a man lying down. This is another man lying down, and standing above him was a man with an iron hook. And he would place this iron hook in the man lying down, and then he will pull the iron hook until he would tear off the flesh all the way towards the back, towards his neck. And then he would place the iron hook in his nose, in his nostrils, and he would do the same. And then he would place the iron hook in his eye, and he would tear it off until it reaches his back. And then he would turn to the other side, and he would do the same. And while he's tearing off the other side, the first side which he tore off would return to its normal state. And he would keep on repeating that again and again. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, قُلْتُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ مَا هَذَا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ Who are they? قَالَ لِي انطلق انطلق They would tell me, proceed, proceed. فَانْطَلَقْنَا فَأَتَيْنَا عَلَى مِثْلِ التَّنُّورِ قَالَ فَأَحْسِبُ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ فَإِذَا فِيهِ لَغَطٌ وَأَصْوَاتٌ قَالَ فَاطَّلَعْنَا فِيهِ فَإِذَا فِيهِ رِجَالٌ وَنِسَاءٌ عُرَاتٌ وَإِذَا هُمْ يَأْتِيهِمْ لَهَبٌ مِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُمْ فَإِذَا أَتَاهُمْ ذَلِكَ اللَّهَبُ ضَوْضَوْا قَالَ قُلْتُ لَهُمَا مَا هَؤُلَاءَ قَالَ لِي انطلق انطلق And then we proceeded and came across an oven. This is tanur is an oven that is like a pit made out of clay. It is for baking bread. Sometimes it is underground and sometimes it is built on top of the ground. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, we came towards this oven and we looked into it and saw naked men and women. And they were making a lot of noise and loud voices. And a flame would come from beneath them and would climb up and they would run away from this flame towards the top of the oven. And when this flame would come up, they would scream loudly. So I told the angels, who are these? They said, proceed, proceed. So we proceeded. قال فانطلقنا فأتينا على نهر حسبت أنه كان يقول أحمر مثل الدم وإذا في النهر رجل سابح يسبح وإذا على شط النهر رجل قد جمع عنده حجارة كثيرة وإذا ذلك السابح يسبح ما يسبح ثم يأتي ذلك الذي جمع عنده الحجارة فيفغر له فاه فيلقمه حجرا فينطلق يسبح ثم يرجع إليه كلما رجع إليه فغر له فاه فألقمه حجرا قال قلت لهما ما هذان قال قال لي انطلق انطلق And then we passed by a river, red like blood. And in the river was a man swimming. And on the bank of the river was another man standing. In front of him was a pile of rocks. So this man would swim towards the man on the bank of the river. And when he would get close to him, that man would take a rock and throw it. And the man who was swimming, the rock would enter into his mouth and it would push him away or he would go and swim away and then he would make a turn and come back and then he would be fed a rock again and this process repeated itself. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قُلْتُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ مَا هَذَانِ I said, سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ Who are they? They said, انطلق انطلق They told me to proceed. So we proceeded. قَالَ فَانْطَلَقْنَا فأتينا على رجل كريه المرآة كأكره ما أن ترى رجلا مرآة وإذا عنده نار يحشها ويسعى حولها قال فقلت لهما ما هذا قال قال لي انطلق انطلق فانطلقنا And then we came across a repulsive man, the most repulsive man you've ever seen. And in front of him was a fire, and he was kindling that fire and running around it. I said, who is he? They said, proceed, proceed. So we proceeded. قال فانطلقنا فأتينا على روضة معتمة فيها من كل لون الربيع وإذا بين ظهري الروضة رجل طويل لا أكاد أرى رأسه طولا في السماء وإذا حول الرجل من أكثر ولدان رأيتهم قط قال قلت لهما ما هذا ما هؤلاء قال قال لي انطلق انطلق And then we came across a garden with deep green vegetation and there were all different colors of spring and in this garden was a very tall man I could barely see his head because of his height high in the sky. And around this man were many children. And I've never seen such a number of children at all. And I told these two men with me, who are they? They said, proceed, proceed. So we proceeded. قال فانطلقنا فانتهينا إلى روضة عظيمة لم أرى روضة قط أعظم منها ولا أحسن. قال لي ارق فيها. قال فارتقينا فيها فانتهينا إلى مدينة مبنية بلبن ذهب ولبن فضة. فأتينا باب المدينة فاستفتحنا ففتح لنا فدخلناها فتلقانا فيها رجال شطر من خلقهم كأحسن ما أنت رائن وشطر كأقبح ما أنت رائن. قال لهما اذهبوا فقعوا في ذلك النهر. قال وإذا نهر معترض يجري كأن ماءه المحط في البياض فذهبوا فوقعوا فيه ثم رجعوا إلينا. قال ذهب ذلك السوء عنهم فصاروا في أحسن صورة. قال لي هذه جنة عدن وهذاك منزلك. قال فسما بصري صعدا فإذا قصر مثل الربابة البيضاء. قال لي هذاك منزلك. قال قلت لهما بارك الله فيكما ذراني فأدخله. قال أما الآن فلا وأنت داخله. And then we proceeded to a garden that is great in size, and I've never seen a garden more beautiful than it. And I was told to climb up. So we climbed up to a city that was built with bricks of gold and silver. And we came towards the gates of the city, and we knocked on the gates, and the gates were opened. And we were met by men, half of their bodies were very handsome, and half of their bodies were very ugly. And then it was told to these men to go and jump in that river. And there was a river next to us, so they went into that river, and the water in this river was white like milk. So these men would jump into that river, and they would come out, and all of that ugliness that was in half of their bodies was gone by now, and they became very beautiful and handsome. And they told me, this is the Jannah of Adn, and there is your home. So I looked up, and I saw up in the sky a palace white like a cloud. And they told me, this is your house. So I told them, may Allah bless you, let me see it. They said, now you cannot, but one day you will. قال قلت لهما فإني قد رأيت منذ الليلة عجبا فما هذا الذي رأيت. I told them, I have seen amazing things, wonders in this night. Tell me what I have seen. Tell me the meaning of all of this. قال لي أما إنا سنخبرك. We will tell you. أما الرجل الأول الذي أتيت عليه يثلغ رأسه بالحجر فإنه الرجل يأخذ القرآن فيرفضه وينام عن الصلاة المكتوبة. The man that you saw lying down with his head being crushed with a stone is the symbol of a person who memorized Quran, but he does not apply it and he sleeps and doesn't pray. وأما الرجل الذي أتيت عليه يشرشر شدقه إلى قفاه ومنخره إلى قفاه وعينه إلى قفاه فإنه الرجل يغدو من بيته فيكذب الكذبة تبلغ الآفاق. And the man you saw whose face was being torn apart with the iron hook is the man who leaves in the morning from his house and lies many lies that spread all over the world. وأما الرجال والنساء العراة الذين في مثل بناء التنور فإنهم الزناة والزواني. And the men and women naked in the oven are the adulterers and the adulteresses. وأما الرجل الذي أتيت عليه يسبح في النهر ويلقم الحجر فإنه آكل الربا. And the man who was swimming in the river of blood and was fed rocks is the man who eats usury, riba, interest. وأما الرجل الكريه المرآة الذي عند النار يحشها ويسعى حولها فإنه مالك خازن جهنم. And the man who was very ugly who was kindling the fire is Malik, the angel of hellfire. وأما الرجل الطويل الذي في الروضة فإنه إبراهيم. And the very tall man you saw in the garden, that is Ibrahim عليه السلام. وأما الولدان الذين حوله فكل مولود مات على الفطرة. And the children who are around him are the children who died on fitra. Some of the Muslims said, and what about the children of the mushrikeen? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and the children of al-mushrikeen. وأما القوم الذين كانوا شطر منهم حسنا وشطر قبيحا فإنهم قوم خلطوا عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا تجاوز عنهم. And then the men you have seen, half of their bodies are handsome, beautiful, and half of their bodies are ugly. They are the ones who have mixed good deeds with evil deeds in dunya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. This is a dream seen by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it's mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. We can see from this dream the wonders that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saw in the alam al-ghayb, the world of the unseen. Some other dreams Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had a dream about the land of Hijrah. He saw this dream while he was in Mecca. عن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رأيت في المنام أني أهاجر من مكة إلى أرض بها نخل فذهب وهلي إلى أنها اليمامة أو هجر فإذا هي المدينة يثرب. I saw in a dream that I was migrating from Mecca to a land where there were date palm trees. I thought that it might be the land of al-Yamama or Hajar, but behold, it turned out to be Yathrib. So this is a dream that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw when he was in Mecca. He saw a place that had a lot of nakhl, date palms. Al-Yamama was famous and Hajar was famous for having a lot of date palms. But it turned out to be Medina, and he knew that he was Medina when he went to Medina. So this is a dream that was direct. What he saw in his dream, he saw it in reality. This hadith carries on. He saw other things in this dream. وَرَأَيْتُ فِي رُؤْيَايَ هَذِهِ أَنِّي هَزَزْتُ سَيْفًا فَانْقَطَعَ صَدْرُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ مَا أُصِيبَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ أُحُدٍ ثُمَّ هَزَزْتُهُ بِأُخْرَى فَعَادَ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانَ فَإِذَا هُوَ مَا جَاءَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْفَتْحِ وَاجْتِمَاعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I saw that I was holding a sword, and this sword broke. And the interpretation of it was the believers who were killed in the Battle of Uhud. And then I shook it again, and it returned better than it was before. And the interpretation of that is the conquest and the opening and the unity of the believers. وَرَأَيْتُ فِيهَا بَقَرًا وَاللَّهِ خَيْرٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ يَوْمَ أُحُدٍ. And I saw cows, and it proved to be a symbol of the believers who were killed on the day of Uhud. Okay, notice here that we have cows in this dream, and we have cows in the dream of Yusuf. Over there it was interpreted as years, and over here cows represent believers. So you can see how one symbol could carry different meanings. And this is where the delicacy of dream interpretation lies. It's not an easy art. So the person, the scholar who interprets dreams, needs to understand the different things that the same symbol might represent. And this hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah ﷺ also had a dream about the night of Qadr. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I saw in my dream that I was prostrating in mud and water. See, in those days, the roof of al-Masjid al-Haram was made of branches, and when it would rain, the water would come through the cracks, because it's leaves. So the water would drip from the roof. The narrator of the hadith says, at that time the sky was clear, and no cloud was visible, but suddenly a cloud came and it rained. The Prophet led us in the prayer, and I saw the traces of mud on the forehead and on the nose of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So it was the confirmation of that dream. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم also saw a dream about the two liars. And this hadith is in Bukhari. Musaylam al-Kadhab, he visited Medina and he was part of a delegation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to him. فأتاه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعه ثابت بن قيس بن شماس وهو الذي يقال له خطيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثابت بن قيس was with رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and he was called the orator of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had in his hand a branch of palm tree. فوقف عليه فكلمه فقال له مسيلمة إن شئت خليت بيننا وبين الأمر ثم جعلته لنا بعدك. مسيلم الكذاب told رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, why don't you split this affair between me and you? After you pass away, I take over after you. مسيلم الكذاب was a man who had aspirations of dunya. He had no thoughts about الآخرة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the afterlife is for those who don't want highness in this life of dunya. Their eagerness is not in this dunya and in collecting the material things of this dunya, but their thoughts and concerns are about al-akhirah. Musaylam al-Kadhab wasn't a person who had his thoughts about al-akhirah. He was thinking about establishing something for him in dunya, even if it is through haram means. So now he's trying to negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if this matter of prophethood is a position of presidency or kingdom. He told him, you take over the affair now, and when you pass away, I will take it from there, and I will be the Nabi after you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, لو سألتني هذا القضيب ما أعطيتك. If you ask me to give you this branch, I would not give it to you. وإني لأراك الذي أريت فيه ما أريت. And I think that you are the one whom I had a dream about. وهذا ثابت بن قيس وسيجيبك. And here ثابت بن قيس, he will respond to you. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم left. The dream that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is referring to is the dream in which he saw two gold bracelets on his arms and then he blew at them and they flew away. And these two liars were Musaylam al-Kadhab in Yamama and Al-Aswad Al-Ansi in Yemen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had dreams about things that would occur in the future. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, u'titu mafatiha al-kalim, wa nusirtu bil-ru'b, wa baynama ana na'imun al-bariha, idh utitu bimafatih khazain al-ard, hatta wudi'at fi yadi, qala Abu Hurairah, fadhahaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa antum tantafilunaha, aw tantaqilunaha. And this hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been given the keys of eloquent speech and given victory with awe. And while I was sleeping last night, the keys of the treasures of the earth were brought to me till they were put in my hand. Abu Hurairah said, Allah's apostle left this world and now you people are carrying those treasures from place to place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this dream where the keys of the treasures of the earth were given to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and he didn't take anything from dunya, but it is his ummah that enjoyed the blessings of the wealth of this dunya. Another hadith, and this is in Bukhari also, عن مالك عن نافع عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أراني الليلة عند الكعبة فرأيت رجلا آدم كأحسن ما أنت رائ من أدم الرجال له لمة كأحسن ما أنت رائ من اللمم قال قد رجلها تقطر ماء متكئا على رجلين أو على عواتق رجلين يطوف بالبيت فسألت من هذا فقيل المسيح ابن مريم ثم إذا أنا برجل جعد قطط أعور العين اليمنى كأنها عنبة طافية فسألت من هذا فقيل المسيح الدجال. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I saw myself in a dream near the Kaaba last night, and I saw a man with whitish red complexion. Isa عليه السلام was very fair, the best you may see amongst men of that complexion, having long hair reaching to his earlobes, which was the best hair of its sort. And he had combed his hair and water was dropping from it. And he was performing the tawaf around the Kaaba while he was leaning on two men or on the shoulders of two men. I asked, who is this man? Somebody replied, he is Messiah, the son of Mary. Then I saw another man with very curly hair, blind in the right eye, which looked like a protruding out grape. I asked, who is this? Somebody replied, he is Messiah, Ad-Dajjal. So in this dream, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the true Messiah and the false Messiah. Another hadith also in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited Haram bint Malhan, and she was the wife of Ubadah ibn Samit. And here the scholars say that she was a mahram for him, although they had a difference of how exactly is she a mahram. Some of them say that she is the aunt of his father or his grandfather, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his maternal side, is related to Al-Ansar, to Al-Khazraj, to Banu Najjar. They are the relatives of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Because Abdul Muttalib, who is the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was married from Banu Najjar. Therefore, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his maternal side, is related to them. And this would make Haram a mahram for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, he visited her, and he had a nap, and he smiled in his sleep. So when he woke up laughing. فَقَالَتْ لَهُ مَا يُضْحَكُكُ. She told him, O Messenger of Allah, why are you laughing? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, نَاسٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي عُرِضُوا عَلَيَّ غُزَاتًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَرْكَبُونَ ثَبَجَ هَذَا الْبَحْرِ مُلُوكًا عَلَى الْأَسِرَّةِ أَوْ مِثْلَ الْمُلُوكِ عَلَى الْأَسِرَّةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some of my followers were presented before me in my dream as fighters in the cause of Allah, sailing in the middle of the seas like kings on the thrones, or like kings sitting on their thrones. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw mujahideen fi sabilillah riding on these ships, and it looked as if they on these ships were like kings on their thrones. And this made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy, and he was laughing in his dream. What did Haram say? She said, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u Allah an akuna minhum. O Rasulullah, make dua that I be one of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are one of them. And subhanAllah, whenever I read this hadith, I always think about the mindset of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, men and women, what their concerns were in life, what their aspirations were. From the questions that they present to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can understand what was important to them, what they were thinking about. Here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this dream and it made him happy. What did Haram say? What was her question? What was her request? She said, O Rasulullah, ask Allah to make me one of them. She didn't think about the fear of going out fi sabilillah. She wasn't concerned about the fear of being on the ship, because the Arabs of Mecca and Medina were not used to the ocean. They were not used to riding the sea. And it was something foreign. Usually people who live on the coastlines are the ones who are used to this. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who are from Mecca or Medina, lived inland, and they were not very used to traveling on ships. Nevertheless, the first thing she said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask Allah to make me one of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are one of them. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to sleep again. By the way, on this issue of the questions of the Sahaba, would tell you what was on their minds. In the other hadith in which Rasulullah talked about Ad-Dajjal, he said one day would be like a year, and then one day would be like a month, and one day would be like a week. What did the Sahaba say? Did they say, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us how this scientifically is possible? Did they say, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during those days, how high the sun would be, or any question of similar sort? No, the question that they asked was, O Rasulullah, would it be enough for us to pray on that day that is equal to a year? Is it enough for us to pray like one day? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا أقدر له قدرة. He said, no, but you have to give it the right proportion. So you can see here that the first thing that came up in their minds was salah. How are we going to pray on that day? If such a topic is presented to people today, I would doubt that many of them would think about this issue of salah first. Many other thoughts and ideas might come up in their mind regarding this supernatural thing of a day that is equal to a year. Many other questions would spring up in one's mind before they would think about how to pray on that day. So the questions of the Sahaba are a reflection of what was going through their minds. Rasulullah ﷺ went to sleep again, and he laughed again in his sleep. And when he woke up, Umm Malhan asked him the same question, "Why were you laughing?" Rasulullah ﷺ responded with the same answer he gave before. He said, "I saw some people of my followers as fighters in the cause of Allah, and they were riding the sea like kings on their thrones." So she told him again, "O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make me one of them." He said, "You are among the first ones." So these are two different ghazawat, two different battles of the sea. And Rasulullah told her that you are part of the first one. Subhanallah, during the khilafah of Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, he sent an army to open the island of Cyprus. And Haram was in that army. And when the ship arrived, she was riding on her mount, and then she fell off and she died. So she was part of the first group, but because she died in that ghazwa, she couldn't be part of the next. That's why Rasulullah ﷺ told her, "You are with the first group." And obviously that makes her a shahida, even though she died a natural death, not during battle itself, but it counts as shahada because she was in the cause of Allah, fi sabirillah. Another hadith in Bukhari, Rasulullah ﷺ said that he saw Amr al-Khuza'i dragging his intestines in the fire, and he was the first person to establish the tradition of setting free the animals. These are some traditions that the kuffar of Quraysh had, rituals regarding animals. They would say that this particular camel you cannot ride, this particular camel you cannot slaughter, because it is devoted to the gods. The first one who invented these lies, these fables, was this man from Khuza'ah. Rasulullah ﷺ saw him dragging his intestines in hellfire. That was his fate in Jahannam. Rasulullah ﷺ also saw a dream about his marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha. An Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, in this hadith is in Bukhari, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أريتك قبل أن أتزوجك مرتين رأيت الملك يحملك في سرقة من حرير فقلت له اكشف فكشف فإذا هي أنت فقلت إن يكن هذا من عند الله يمضه ثم أريتك يحملك في سرقة من حرير فقلت اكشف فكشف فإذا هي أنت فَقُلْتُ إِنْ يَكُوا هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ يُمْضِهِ اللَّهِ. Rasulullah ﷺ said to Aisha, "You have been shown to me twice in my dream. I saw you pictured on a piece of silk, and someone said to me, 'This is your wife.' When I uncovered the picture, I saw that it was yours. I said, 'If this is from Allah, it would be done.'" So Aisha was married to Rasulullah ﷺ in a dream. He saw her in his dream, and we know that the dreams of Anbiya are wahi. Ru'ya al-Anbiya wahi. The dreams of Anbiya are wahi. Shaitan can never come to the Anbiya in their dreams. They don't have any false dreams. All of their dreams are true. And subhanAllah, the two most controversial marriages of Rasulullah ﷺ, according to the kuffar, are his marriage to Aisha because he was young in age, and his marriage to Zainab bint Jahsh because she was married to his former slave, Zayd ibn Haritha. And subhanAllah, these two particular marriages were not marriages that Rasulullah ﷺ did not instigate them. These were two marriages that he was instructed to do by Allah Azza wa Jal, like we see here in this hadith. And with Zainab radiallahu anha, he was ordered to marry her in Quran. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. After Zayd left her, then we married her to you. So it is something that Rasulullah ﷺ had no control over, but they were commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا.
Please proceed to the next CD.